Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the reasons that I like Pro Football Focus is because they attempt to measure what nobody's ever attempted to measure before. For example, I'm looking right now at Bull Rush win rate through week 9. Some people may laugh at that. I don't. They have somebody charting this. Who's winning the most when they use a Bull Rush? Cam Hayward has a win rate of 42.5%. That is fifth in the NFL. Myles Garrett leads by a lot, by the way, at 56%. The eye test may have already told you that limits that when you watch Myles Garrett, he overpowers people. But things like this lend credence to what your eyes are telling you. Or, in some cases, your eyes might tell you one thing and the numbers might tell you another. That's why I like this site. And here to talk about all things PFF is Dalton Wasserman from Pro Football Focus. Dalton, how are you today?
Fantastic. Another great week in football. How are you doing today?
Good. We appreciate you joining us. PFF has you covered all season long with the best data, tools, and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all their famous player grades and premium statistics. All right, let's start at the quarterback position, Dalton. Let's go with Russell Wilson through two games. What does PFF like about him and maybe not like so far?
So I think he's playing overall on a reasonably similar level to what Justin Fields was, but the difference you're getting with Wilson is just more of a downfield threat, right? You know, I think whereas with Fields, you're very much based in the run game and you're getting a lot of bootlegs going and things like that, a lot of shorter passes. I think they wanted to open up this offense and get these safeties out of the box a little bit. So when you talk about Justin Fields, or sometimes we talk about average depth of target. On average, how far down the field are you throwing the football?
Yeah.
His was 7.7 yards, which is actually it's relatively low when you talk about Russell Wilson being at 10 yards per attempt right now, how far he's throwing the ball down the field. Usually that's a top five number in the league when you're getting up there near 10 yards. So I think what they've done is try to just add a more vertical passing game, pardon me, and get George Pickens working downfield. And I think that's the logic even behind the Mike Williams trade, right? Getting a more vertical passing game going so you can lighten up the boxes and get safeties out of the front seven to help the run game out.
Right. And I think a lot of people, speaking of how you guys actually do this, they wonder, well, who's doing it? Well, Bobby Slowick worked for your site. So did other people who are now NFL coaches, and so are some former players. So getting back to like the Bull Rush and the win rate on that, what kinds of people are breaking down these games? You know, what are they people who have a background in the game, or who exactly does the work here, Dalton?
Oh, yeah, many of them are. I mean, whether it be at the college level, I mean, some of them now You just mentioned coaching at the NFL. Bobby Slowick, Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, is another one who used to be with us. We used to have former NFL quarterback Bruce Gradkowski. We've got former college players. I used to coach in high school myself, so I had a decent background with it. I did it for 4 years before moving over to the content side. So we have all different people from all sorts of backgrounds, and they get trained on how our system works. But it's a terrific team. I mean, we're talking about, as far as the graders go, I think somewhere between 100 or 120 guys we have now, and so many of them come from all different places, former coaches, former players, people just trying to get into the analytics side of it and understand the game more and learning through us. So I think we have a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, and some of them come from different areas of expertise too. We've got guys who are experts in the passing game, guys who are offensive line experts, you know, things like that. So it's a really diverse group of people, and they're all fantastic at their job. I worked with them for 4 years on that side, and I couldn't ask for a better team of guys to be doing that thing.
I love it, man. And, you know, I think I don't know that a lot of people know that. They think it's just like, you know, you pull people off the street and have them do it. Having said that, I'm sure I know a lot of people disagree with a lot of the rankings. And then, you know, it always seems to tailor their needs. I've disagreed with things before. Here's one right here that my eye test is telling me is not true, but I'm willing to listen to what the rating is and why is Joey Porter Jr. I think most people think he's having a pretty good year. You guys have him at a 60.0. That's 74th among 110 corners. What's happening with him that you guys are seeing that maybe the eye test doesn't tell you?
I just see a little bit. So, again, I think we have to emphasize that we look over every single snap of every game. And what I'm seeing here for him is just inconsistent week to week, right? He's a young guy who there have been some good games, right? The last two games he's been really good. And I look over at his coverage grade, especially 62.9. So when you're talking about grades in this range, you're talking like average. Like he's in total played average football. But I've got five games where his coverage grade was above 70, which is a good game. And then I've got three other games where it's below a 50. So it kind of, for some guys, they're more consistent. They grade it around a 60 every week, and that's kind of how it adds up. And for other guys, it can be kind of high and low, right? I look at the Colts game where he gave up five catches for 80 yards, or I look at the Raiders game where he gave up four for 65. So I think he's a young guy who's dealing with just trying to do things consistently on a week-in, week-out basis. So what that, you know, the average, I would call that just about a perfectly average grade right in there. He's not playing terrible football or anything like that every single week. It's just a guy trying to figure out the ups and downs of, well, playing corner in the NFL. So I think he's going to continue to get better as it's going. It's good to see him the last 2 weeks get two good weeks in a row going. And he's got another real big challenge with Washington this week. It'll be fun to watch him go against Terry McLaurin and those guys for the Commanders.
For sure. And, yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me, limits. Do you have a question here?
I do. How does PFF examine Broderick Jones? Naturally a left tackle, but he's playing right tackle this year and has seen a lot of struggles at times, but it's a lot of inconsistent play.
Yeah, I agree, and it was kind of like that last year. I watched a lot of Jones's tape this year and last year, and the big theme, he gives you some good stuff in the run game, and again, you mentioned it, it's his second year now playing right tackle, position he wasn't really used to at Georgia, but the problem's been in pass protection, right? He's given up seven sacks this season, got a 40.7 pass blocking grade for us. It's just the Steelers, this has been the problem for them the last couple of years, is just dropping back and throwing the football and having the protection hold up. So there are moments when I really like Broderick Jones, especially in the run game, but he's got to get more consistent in pass protection, or you're going to see either you know, once and maybe next year when Troy Faiutanu is healthy, he's going to take over that spot, or you could see a move where a guy like, you know, a guy the Eagles signed this offseason like Mekhi Becton, they moved him inside to guard, and now he's having a spectacular season. So I think Jones, out of necessity, is going to keep playing at this spot, and he needs to get better in pass protection. He's given up multiple pressures in pretty much every start he's made this year. So that's really what they need to see, is just better protection, especially on late downs in those obvious passing situations.
Dalton Wasserman from Pro Football Focus. You can go to pff.com to get the lowdown on how to get more out of watching the game here. We have a guy named Donnie Football, and tomorrow is a Donnie Football Friday, and he does a show periodically with a Landon Roberts. So at the other end of the spectrum here, a Landon Roberts, you guys have second among 83 players at his position, And his run defense grade is absolutely elite at 93.3. So who's ever grading that loves what they're seeing. Yes, Dalton?
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about a guy. I mean, for so long, especially in New England, I mean, he's so aggressive. He's so direct to the football. And he's a guy, he's really a perfect early down linebacker, right? And you talk about making plays on the ball, making big hits, getting off blockers. I think it's a perfect role for him, right? Because he's not the best guy in coverage, not a guy you want all the time out there on third down. But what he gives you on early downs, and on top of what the defensive line, you know, that makes his job a lot easier, is having such a great defensive line that occupies all those blockers. He's so good at just finding the football between the tackles and making plays on it. And I think, especially lately, I'm looking over the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's made a big difference. I think he's going to play a huge role this week, because I know, you know, another one against Washington, Jaden Daniels and his arm is getting all the spotlight right now. But Washington's run game is a top three run game in the league right now. So Roberts is going to play a big role. But the what he does, especially between the tackles, getting downhill in these gaps behind his defensive line, is really valuable to their defense.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, you can weigh in with a take to City Limits here, is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dalton Wasserman from PFF is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Everybody's still up in arms with PFF because they didn't have TJ Watt as their best defensive player last year, Dalton. Do you have him as your best overall player now at the unofficial midway point? Would he be PFF's defensive player of the year right now? And if not, who?
I believe he would, because honestly, the highest graded player in our system is actually Aiden Hutchinson, but he's not going to obviously win defensive player of the year for the year with his injury, only getting to play 5 games. But no, TJ Watt's right after that, and that's the guy who it would be. He's actually clear of anybody else by 2 points right now. Just an incredible year he's having. He's the only player with pass rush and run defense grades above 90. He's forcing fumbles. You can see him punching the ball out on run plays. He's always a great pass rusher. We already know he can drop into coverage and even make plays in coverage. He's as good an all-around football player as there is in the league at any position. So, yeah, I mean, for what he did in those 5 games, Hutchinson is the highest graded player, but he's not going to win that award. So I would say right now, come the end of the year, if things stay the way they are, TJ Watt is in line for defensive player of the year for us.
When we look at Najee's grade, it's a good one, 78.7, and yet it's only 16th out of 65 halfbacks is the category there. What goes into that grade? Do you include, you know, blitz pickup? Receiving, is that an all-around grade, or were we just looking at his running skills?
So the 78.7 you just mentioned, that is all the way around, and it is running, it is receiving, it's all the blocking. That puts it all together. And I think what you get for Najee is, lately especially, I think he did get off to a bit of a slow start this year, but lately it's been picking up. I think we've seen that ever since, especially the Vegas game where he's got 3 straight 100-yard games now. So you're seeing it really pick up. I believe he's one of the highest graded backs over the last 4 weeks, after getting off to a relatively slow start. But no, we look at, I mean, things like yards after contact, forcing tackles, forcing missed tackles. Okay, his first 4 games, he only forced 11 missed tackles. The last 4, it's been 25. That's a big part of it. Creating explosive runs, he's got 11 in the last 3 games, you know, of 10 or more yards. So if you can break tackles and get yards after contact and create explosive runs and obviously first downs, then you start getting those higher grades as a rusher. But no, I think he's a guy who's really coming on. The overall grade, it's going to line up for him pretty closely with his rushing grade, because we don't see him get a ton of passing work. But no, I think Najee's having a good year. And honestly, I think lately, especially these last 3 games, I think this is the best that I've ever seen him run the ball. He's just running the ball with this, and he's always been an aggressive runner, but it looks a little bit different right now the last few games, like he's figured something out.
Yeah, I think everybody here would agree with that. This is the best he's ever looked. It's 118. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Lastly, Dalton, the lightning rod figure here the past couple of years, but he seems to have really upped his play, and your guys' grades would back that, is Dan Moore Jr. on the left side. Is this guy lining up for a big free agent deal as a left tackle?
We'll see how big, because you know left tackles can get big, big money. But no, he definitely, it's been actually probably the brightest spot other than Zach Frazier, who I know you're hoping to get back this week. He's been a bright spot too. But no, it's kind of unexpected because Moore really struggled last year, especially in pass protection. And it was the big worry is that, okay, if Moore and Broderick Jones are both going to play the way they played last year, we'd have a disaster again up front on our hands. But Moore's been a lot better this year. He's only given up two sacks and two other hits. 72.6 pass blocking grade would be a career high for him, and a huge jump from what it was last year. So I think maybe he's just feeling the urgency of the contract year and potentially even, you know, earlier in the season, maybe even competing and possibly losing his spot to a rookie when Troy Faiutano was healthy. But no, I think it's been a big boost. I mean, honestly, right now, the left side of the offensive line, the way they've been playing, I don't worry about too much with Dan Moore and Isaac Seumalo there at left guard. It's just a matter of now Zach Frazier getting healthy and patching things together on the right side of the offensive line, where obviously you've had some injuries. The James Daniels injury, obviously unfortunate. But Mason McCormick, he's playing passable football. But no, Moore has definitely been an asset this year when last year he really wasn't.
Dalton, great stuff. Let's talk again soon. I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
He's good. Dalton Wasserman, isn't he? Limits?
He's very good.
I think he's excellent on this thing. And I defend Pro Football Focus more than I criticize them, because they really do have qualified people, coaches, former players, in some cases, rising coaches. I mean, all you need to know is that Zach Robinson and Bobby Slowick, two pretty prominent coordinators right now in the league, worked there. Do you need to know more than that? That doesn't mean they're always right, by the way. Some of the things leave me scratching my head. They really do. But I respect the fact that they are trying to quantify things that in that sport have been very difficult. And in fact, people haven't even tried to. So I like it. I go on there frequently to take a look. You?
I like to check the grades, but I also don't try to praise them as gospel either. I mean, there are a lot of things that maybe are too analyzed, and sometimes there's paralysis by analysis, and sometimes it's just better to use your eyes, and that's the case, I think, with T.J. Watt over the last couple of years, but I'm glad to see that the numbers are finally lining up.
Well, it's not like he
up.
Gets bad grades, T.J. Watt. He gets great grades from them.
He gets pretty good grades, but other players that I don't think deserve them get higher grades.
Yeah. Like who?
Myles Garrett. Still not over that.
I know that's going to hurt for you and probably for TJ for a long time.
Well, yeah, there's no reason why Myles Garrett should have won it over TJ Watt. None.
I agree with you.
And I mean, for PFF to think otherwise, I just don't agree with it.
I agree with every syllable and quarter syllable you just uttered, Limits.
It's a lot of syllables.
Yeah. Coming up, Jeff Hathorn, the coordinators, spoke today. I just heard some Arthur Smith clips. Do we have any of those? Did he turn those around yet or no?
We are scouring. Did you find him on social media?
No. I think Andrew Filipponi was listening to some of it back there. At least that's what I...
We have some Artie. We'll listen to Artie.
I think he was listening to that back there. I'll just read you some in the meantime. Arthur Smith on the acquisition of Mike Williams will bring him along the right way. Obviously, he has a skill set that fits us. Says he makes a lot of 50-50 catches, can help with run blocking, and hopefully he's value added. Man, what Hokie said earlier today is true, is that the receivers on this team are very involved in blocking, and I would include George Pickens in that of late. And I think that's hugely important. You look at some of the big runs that they bust, and without a receiver doing his job on the play, that play doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think Pickens has gotten better at it. There's still a lot of room to grow for George Pickens blocking-wise, but Van Jefferson's done a nice job blocking. I think Pat Freiermuth's a little bit underrated as a blocker. I think a lot of people try to over-exaggerate his inability to block. I think he's been fine.
He's okay. Who's that guy up on the McAfee show?
Chuck
there?
Pagano.
Chuck Pagano. He has a Colorado Buffalo sweatshirt on.
Supporting Dion.
I want one of those. The colors of that, their color scheme is awesome. Can you get me one of those for Christmas if you're already thinking about that?
I was not already thinking about it, but I will put it on my list.
You have an elite sweatshirt game, which includes today a Rose Bowl between Utah and Penn State with their helmets on your sweatshirt.
Oh, I love my T-shirt game. I really do. I'll bring in a couple more that I'll feature this week. Well, I guess next week because I'm not here tomorrow.
Artie Smith also said he expects Zach Frazier to return this week, which is very good. And then he had a nice line about trades and roster building. Sometimes people get lost. They act like my 11-year-old playing Madden with the salary cap off. Chemistry and fit matter. I love that.
I have a couple already clips on getting Mike Williams involved, and also he compared Najee Harris to Derrick Henry.
What would it be like if your dad was an NFL offensive coordinator and you're on Madden? Don't you just say, Dad, can you want to call some plays here? Can you help me out a little bit? Formulate my game plan?
What's the best play to run in this situation?
There's only 32 kids out there who have dads that are NFL offensive coordinators.
Do you think NFL offensive coordinators use Madden to see if plays would work or not?
I think that yes. I think a lot of people have. I truly do. And they use it as a teaching tool. I've actually seen that, at least at the college level, for quarterbacks, that you can use Madden and probably NCAA football as a teaching tool, limits, to read defenses. Any comment on that?
Maybe
feelings,
to learn the
thoughts,
playbook.
Emotions?
No, I think it's fascinating enough. Like,
did you know that our
catering
boss,
to our generation, which is good.
Did you know that our boss, Craig Riley, was a nationally renowned Madden player?
No, I did not know that.
Why don't you go down the hallway and ask him during this break?
I could.
He won national matches, national games, I should say, in Madden. You didn't know that.
No idea.
Are you any good at it?
I was decent at Madden. I don't play video games anymore.
Did I play you during when we did the volunteer fire radiothon?
Yes, we played college football against each other. Remember,
Who was I? Buffalo?
Yes, and you were down by like 3 touchdowns, and you gave me the controller very angrily. I came back against Callis, and it marked for one of the greatest finishes in history, where
what
I
happened?
Went down and scored with 20 seconds left. Callis threw a Hail Mary that was caught. And I ended up missing like a 55-yard field goal, which would have won the game again.
Who was Callis? Pitt?
I don't remember. It was Buffalo against, I think probably Pitt, yeah.
I think it was
He kept throwing it to Doran.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had Doran on his team.
Yeah.
Doran shredded me.
Doran crushed us.
Yeah, I quit because I forgot what the controllers meant. I used to know it by heart a long time ago. And on plays where I wanted to spin, instead I would dive and the play would be over. And that's very discouraging.
We were playing on like a PlayStation 2.
Yeah,
maybe
I
the original
it.
PlayStation.
I still want to get a Madden League going, as a matter of fact. But sure, if you are interested in Christmas ideas for me, I think I'm in the mood for a Colorado Buffalo sweatshirt. I just like the logo. It really doesn't have much to do with the current team. I just want one of them.
What are you going to give me for Christmas?
Give me a list. And I'll pick and choose.
Check it twice.
All right. Jeff Hathorn talked to the coordinators today. Let's talk to Jeff about what they said. The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Zach Frazier, Artie Smith says, is ready to go. That's great news for the Steelers. Now you have an offensive line that looks pretty formidable, doesn't it? Seumalo, thank God that injury wasn't as long-term as it seemed at the start. You have a rejuvenated Dan Moore playing well at left tackle. Seumalo, I think, is playing great. Frazier might be a top five center in the game already. McCormick is, passable at right guard. It's really too bad what happened with James Daniels, because speaking of PFF, they had him as the highest rated right guard in the league this year. Number one. And then you have an issue with Broderick Jones, but hopefully one for a guy that young that, had a little bit of time here to reset. Hopefully he'll come on a little bit, but I like the offensive line going into the second half. Do you?
Getting Zach Frazier back, yes, because I think he is in that conversation as a top five center already. I was really happy that they drafted him.
They hit a grand slam with him. I think already it's one of the great picks of the Mike Tomlin era.
Well, everybody kept saying Creed Humphrey this, Creed Humphrey that.
For good reason.
Well, yes, very much so. But Zach Frazier, I think, is that type of player. Not as good. I mean, Humphrey's by far and away, I think, the best center right now. But Zach Frazier, I would put close to that 2-3 in the league.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service.
A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday Mega Deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. We're also coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's go to our very own Jeff Hathorn. He has spent a few hours there on the south side already today at the Steelers practice facility. Jeff, thanks for joining me here. What's the most interesting thing you've heard today? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because there's so many different things. I'll say this, because I think a lot of people made a lot of what Tomlin said yesterday about, wait a minute. I didn't say that he had the skill set, best skill set, and today Arthur Smith was like, no, we really like his skill set. Like, he's going to fit in well here, talking about Mike Williams, obviously. So that might be the thing where people were thinking, well, are they going to use this guy? Arthur pretty much said, yeah, they're going to use this guy.
Red zone especially, do you think, Jeff, or how would you imagine that plays out?
I mean, ultimately, he's a downfield threat. He averaged 15 and a half a catch in his career. So I think more that, at least at the beginning, they could run some simple routes for him. One of the hidden things that helps is that the Jets receivers coach last year is Zach Azani, who's the Steelers coach this year. So Williams said a lot of the formations and that are the same that what the Jets were running. So it's made it pretty easy for him to pick up quickly. And obviously he's been around the game, and I mean, plays change a little bit, but it's more about terminology. Once you get that down, and between him and a 35-year-old quarterback, you like to think that scale is going to move pretty quickly.
All right, Jeff. Looking ahead to this game, Arthur Smith seemed to confirm that Zach Frazier is ready to go, yes?
Yeah, and Zach said it yesterday. Like, a lot of times these guys have hesitation, but he didn't have any.
That's good. I mean, that just, to me, that's a transformative thing. Any other, for the offense, any other injuries, guys in or out, that would be newsworthy?
Joe, I feel good about Patterson returning to that backfield. I mean, just to have that, when you saw what he did in that one series at Indy, the one he got hurt in, like, he could come in and be a spark for you offensively, even if he only, you know, has a handful, 10 carries. And to be able to mix that up and keep Najee as fresh as possible, I think that's a luxury. And there's a potential for Nick Herbig to return this week as well. So now not only do you have basically your full complement, now you're adding Preston Smith to that mix. And all of a sudden, a group that was throwing out practice squad guys a couple of weeks ago is now really deep.
Jeff, when you watch or look at Washington, obviously the Steelers are going to have something special in store for Jaden Daniels. What's been the talk among their defenders about him?
I think they're pretty amazed. I mean, that a guy, now he's been around the game. It was LSU as a second stop, but how poised he is, how he doesn't make mistakes. They've had 3 turnovers all year, and they're running more hurry up than any other team, and yet he's not making mistakes, which is a compliment to Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, and you know, keeping it at a level that he's very comfortable with, but also trusting him to put him in those positions, and he's rewarded their trust. You know, how do you get him out of system? How do you throw him something that he hasn't seen? And most importantly with them is getting them out of those third and fourth and shorts, because they haven't missed a fourth down this year, and they're really good in third down. And big reason for that is they're getting good yardage on first and second. How could they make these third downs a little bit harder for Washington? It wasn't long ago Washington was a laughing stock, and they've turned them into this is a legit playoff, maybe deep playoff run team. A lot of it's the quarterback, but also some of the coaching. They've got a nice backfield, and they've got a good linebacker crew on the other side.
Another thing I've been meaning to ask you about, Jeff, I've talked about it with a lot of people, including Chris Hoke today. Jerry Dulac had in his chat yesterday that he actually has long expected Najee and the Steelers to extend their relationship beyond this season. Do you get the vibe that that could happen? Does Najee want that to happen?
He is not one to share that kind of information very much with us. I think he was hurt. He's on a mission right now to prove. I mean, there's something different about him, and it's been acknowledged by, his position coach that this guy, he wants to show what he can do, and he's proving it. I don't think the door is shut on him re-signing with the Steelers, but we're only halfway through, so I think there's still more of this season. We'll see. There hasn't been a ton of talk about it just because over these last three games it's been more about, all right, what's been the key, not, all right, are you looking to parlay this into something more? And then when Najee gets those type of questions, he's normally not very expansive.
It's interesting because as I asked you that question, a story popped up here on ESPN. Chuba Hubbard with Carolina just signed a 4-year extension, Jeff, worth $33 million, maximum $37 million, with $15 fully guaranteed million dollars. Now, he's having a really good year. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. I think he's 8th or something in the league in rushing, 10th, I think, in rushing, and has 6 touchdowns. That's worth a little more than $8 million a year. I know he's only 25, and Najee sort of low-key is about to turn 27 in March. But, man, that sounds like if I'm Najee, I'm going for $8, $9, $10 million a year. You think he can get that?
Well, maybe. I mean, there is salary cap room with the Steelers next year. Obviously, they have to figure out their quarterback situation and a few other holes. But there's room for that. There's still a lot of guys on rookie contracts that are going to be key contributors. My thing with Najee and contracts are this. You remember, not this training camp, but the one before, how he was very united with the Saquon Barkley, running backs are underpaid, this is a load of garbage, they should be paid more. So now that he's going to be up for it, is he going to be one of those guys that's going to hang on, or demand something that's going to be out of the Steelers' price range?
Jeff, I appreciate the time. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Joe.
See you, buddy. Jeff Hathorn on Najee. Yeah, I was taking a little bit of a deep dive on that today because I was writing a story for the Post-Gazette, and a couple things I was surprised with. Not that Najee is among the league leaders in 20-plus yard runs this year. I think he's 4th. Now I can't remember. But that he was up there last year in those types of runs. He had 8 runs of 20 or more. McCaffrey, as an example, only had 9. Now, the difference is between Najee and the very best runners in the league, of which there are about 3, is the home run hitting. He's not that guy. He's just not going to go 50, 60, 70, 80 yards like Derrick Henry or Barkley or McCaffrey. Maybe Gibbs is getting into that category. I don't know. But after that, I put Najee in the next batch of running backs after that, especially the way he's running this year. What does that mean if a guy like Chuba Hubbard, he's good? I actually made a mistake there. I think he's top 5 in rushing in the NFL right now. If he can get more than 8 with $15 million guaranteed, that's kind of a baseline for Najee, right?
That Chuba Hubbard deal surprised me. And I don't know if that's Carolina just getting desperate to try to keep as many players as they can and offer Chuba Hubbard maybe worth more than he's actually valued.
Well,
but
the one thing, Limit, sorry to interrupt, is that I didn't see how many years of that they're committed to. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Can they get out of it after a year or two? But go ahead.
And I think, I mean, Najee's obviously looking at that deal and his eyebrows are probably perked up and he's probably sending it to his agent saying this is the type of deal that I could probably command, and that's probably what he will be because he's a top 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 running back right in that range in football, I'd
say.
Yeah, I
would agree
right now. So 8 million right there.
Yeah. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High is 65 today with cloudy skies. Let's put it this way. This is a one-shot deal for Najee. This is going to be his contract. And because he's a running back, it's not going to be this, you know, crazy tens of millions of dollars that he's going to get. He might not even get that many years because, again, I was surprised. I had forgotten that this dude's about to turn 27 in 3 or 4 months. Next year's his age 27 season. And every number you can find on the history of running backs tells you that their statistical peak is from ages 22 to 28. You very likely have gotten the best years, including this one, from Najee Harris that he's ever going to have. Some are late bloomers. He may have another 2, 3 good years left in him. But simple mathematics and history and the fact that it's a position of high attrition tells you that a 2 or 3 year deal is probably as far as you want to go with him. Now, all it takes is one team. We'll see how it plays out. Limits, you're a wonderful man. Tomorrow's a Donnie Football Friday. See you, buddy.
See ya.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.